Welcome to A Handful of Hope, where we bring you heart-to-heart conversations with heart-centered people. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of A Handful of Hope. I'm so happy and grateful to have Jason with us today. Jason's a husband, father of two young kiddos just out of the side of the Denver, Colorado. He was a teacher for the first 8 years of his career and has since been a partner in a company selling restaurant equipment for the last 12. Just last Friday was his final day at that company, which was planned for months, so he could step away from ownership to have more energy at home, and has plans to work for a new company mid-April. During this unique staycation, he's offering positivity tips for peers in his industry, as well as virtual lunches to connect with others around the country. On a personal note, Jason spent much of his 20s working through significant anxiety and depression and attributes much of the turnaround in his life to the Canfield Success Principles, and the community has been built out of that. Jason is known for saying that he loves people and he just wants them to learn all the skills available to feel empowered and joyful in their life. He also says that he can sell glass or items needed for a breakfast buffet like no other. Jason, welcome and thanks so much for being here, man.
Thanks, Jesse. Really glad to join you, man.
Yeah, buddy, absolutely. You know, there's two things that I think would be really powerful to touch on here with you. And you said about stepping away from this company that you've been with for a while, and you and I have talked a little bit about that in the past. And I think one of the things that, and the reason why I think you're so perfect to speak to this is because I think a lot of people right now are in their professional careers in this huge state of flux. And they have for so long followed the path that they thought they were supposed to follow, right? You go to school, then you either go to more school or you get a job, and then you get the job because that's what you need to do to support your family. And so you'll sacrifice family time, quality time, whatever, to earn an income, do the thing, because that's what you think you're supposed to do, even though it may not be fulfilling to you. So statistically in the U.S., it's like 60-80% of people strongly dislike or hate their jobs. And if people are in such disruption right now and a lot of fear and anxiety over their jobs, I also think it's a tremendous opportunity for people to maybe look within and see what's on their heart and what they really want in life. And maybe you could speak to that a little bit just to kick us off.
Yeah, happy to. Yeah, it's a unique time for me in that I'm, you know, for the moment, unemployed. I helped start our company just about 8 years ago and had been in the industry for 12. It was a great, I loved it. I got to be a part of something I never dreamed about. But over time, we've had some health issues. My wife's had some health issues. My daughter's had some health stuff. And in the last 3 years, I've seen an increased my desire to be more present at home and my family's desire to have me more present at home. And yet the energy that it was taking from me to be an owner in a company and manage that the way I was just were no longer compatible. And so my wife and I sat down last summer and she essentially said, she goes, "Hey, you know, I appreciate everything you do for us, but you always need to put the business first. And when are you going to choose us?" And wow. Which is a, you know, it gets you. So yeah. We put a big plan in place to get me out. And it was unique when we started telling our industry about 6 weeks ago, you know, people don't really do that. I don't know everyone's perception of what I did. But, you know, most don't leave the company for, I had a guy call me and say, "Man, if I were your age and had what you had, I wouldn't have made that decision." And then he said, "And that's probably why I'm on my second marriage," which is interesting. So, you know, it's important to me to be home with my people and have the energy that they desire from me. It was also going to free up some energy in me to get to pursue more. I found I couldn't care for people the way I used to be able to, or the way that I like to. And so this was a way to free up some margin in my own personal space to get to care a little bit more or engage or listen a little bit more in ways that the stress of all of it really haven't allowed me to these last few years.
How important is it to you to care to people, to care for people?
You know, Jesse, it is, it's the thing that gets me up. I've I've told people I've never been incredibly passionate about restaurant equipment. It's not like it's not my thing per se. It's the people that I get to care for, that I get to call on in every sales call or every opportunity. You know, my personal hope is that if I come in and they're at a 4 out of 10, by the time they're done with me, I hope they're at a 5 or a 6.
Wow.
Just as a person, and yeah. And the restaurant equipment and what I do is, it's a cool medium because we socialize and we connect and we share meals together. So it's a fun way to do it. But it's the lifting up of people. And that's probably just because I think about it all the time. You know, at the time in my life when I needed people, they showed up and, you know, lifted me when I really couldn't stand, and helped me get out of a really tough place that I was in for a long, long time. And I feel like I'm just forever indebted to humanity to help lift others up the way I was lifted up at one point.
Jason, what? I love that, caring about people. I think that it's so beautiful in its simplicity, right? Because at the end of the day, I think all of us have this desire to care and be cared for, but we don't always articulate that. And what we'll do instead is we will pass it off as, my way of caring is, you know, the very traditional, I'll go out, earn money, bring this home, you know, get material stuff. And I think one of the beautiful things that's happening right now in our world is we're finding that the material stuff doesn't have the substance that this does. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we maybe as a global society, as a culture, maybe at least here in the US, we've gotten to be so consumer heavy of trying to maybe quantify connection through things and stuff. And now we're really getting back to that, or maybe just discovering it for the first time, about what the value of real connection is. And I'm really curious. So, because I'm betting when you're very career driven, very career focused, being the owner of the company, you're thinking you're putting family first, right? You're getting up in the morning going, just knowing you, I, in my heart, I know that you're getting up and doing everything for your family. What gets you then to have that psychology shift where your wife says, hey, when are you going to put us first? And all of a sudden, what you were doing before, you realize that that's not putting them first, and that putting them first is actually being present and having that time.
Oh, Jesse, there was this joke in our family.
It starts with a joke.
What's that?
I said, I love it's going to start with a joke.
Well, the joke, I don't know if it's a joke. There was a question that came up all the time, and it was, where's daddy? And that wasn't a question when I was gone. It was actually a question when I was here. So we'd be in the car going somewhere. We'd be in the house doing whatever. And someone would have asked me something. We'd be in a car coming somewhere, and I don't hear a thing. And Shannon, my wife, would be like, Jason, didn't you just hear that? She's like, where are you? And, or the kids would say, daddy, where are you? And the thing I came up with, I said, I'm always playing chess in my head. I'm always figuring out the next move. And I wasn't present. And, you know, I have 7 years before my oldest is gone in college, and I've got 9 before my other. And, you know, there's a lot of things I can figure out what to do for a living, I think. I don't know. And it wasn't worth, you know, I didn't want that to be my legacy, that question, where's dad? And so if I can find a way to feed us, and you know, thankfully the material side has never been a huge part of our world. It's never been the biggest thing that's important, I guess. And so I just wanted to be connected. I just wanted to be home and present. We're unique in that Shannon and I met through like a ministry 16 years ago. And that was very centered around community. So even now, this neighborhood we live in, there are 6 other families that that we were friends with in college as all individuals, wow, no and then kidding. Couples, and then people got married, they all moved away, and then they came home, and we all moved into the same neighborhood. So, you know, literally, Shannon's good friend from college is two doors that way. My college roommate is two blocks that way. You know, we bought all the kids walkie-talkies. Everyone has a code name. All the parks have code names. So we're all talking all the time. So community has always been an integral part of what we've been a part of. And I think for me, in my 20s, going through some, you know, pretty intense anxiety, depression, that community came around me. And I mean, saved my life is not an understatement. And so that human piece, that relationship, that connection piece, the power of people to keep lifting you up when you can't lift yourself up, it is never gone. It's like a thumbprint. I feel like it's burned on my head. You know, this matters. And
I want to lead this next question with, I think that, you know, we're seeing this massive disruption, right? Here in the U.S. and around the world, so many people are losing their job, entering into realms of economic uncertainty. You know, the how we do business is likely going to change. The global economy is likely going to change in many ways. And that breeds naturally a lot of fear. And I also think there's an extraordinary opportunity in it for people to really have that, right, introspective look. And if so many people were going to work not enjoying what they were doing, does this really give us a chance to pause and look at what and who matters most and consider, you know, because it's cliche, right? We say, well, we only have this moment. I say it every day, we only have this moment. And I realize how cliche it might sound, unless there's something like this going around where there's this, you know, this killer that we can't see that doesn't care what skin color, what ethnicity, what religion, any of those types of things we are. It's just looking for a host that it can thrive in. And I'm wondering if, you know, I know your departure from your company was planned for 9 months. And I imagine that sometimes when we leave, we might have those questions like, did I make the right decision? Did I not? At this time of this recording, it's March 26, 2020. And so you're in Colorado, and Colorado just went on lockdown, quarantine, shelter in place, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Now being at home in this dynamic with your family, do you question that at all, or do you feel even more certain in your decision and that you made the right decision for what matters most for you?
I remain 100% certain of the decision. You know, it's hairier now. I don't technically work for anyone as of this particular moment, but I don't question it for one second. I mean, being present at home and being present at work, it wasn't allowing me to be present anywhere. And you're right. I mean, this moment where there's a forced slowdown in life, you can be so, that was part of my challenge, was the emails were so many, the management was so many, it never allowed margin to think and to create space. And here's one that's given to us, as hard as all of this is, it certainly is an opportunity to sit down and think, what makes you most come most alive? Is there, have I been living that way? Have I been living out of the fulfillment of what brings me joy? And I believe then consequently what brings others joy around me, you know, what lifts them up. And it's totally an opportunity to figure out, maybe I need to pivot a little bit. Is there an area of life that I can foster that I've been neglecting? Or is there something I can do with some of my energy to that lifts me up and others in a way that I haven't given myself time to do before? I mean, undeniably, it's an opportunity for that. For me, in our world, I happen to have a 3-week planned vacation right now. And while I'm not where I was supposed to be, it's okay. There's, you know, the thing that makes me most alive is lifting others up. So our world, I'm in food service, and we're seeing layoffs left and right. Every darn near every customer I have is laying people off right now. And I remember writing probably a week and a half ago to some buddies. They were my old college roommates. And I actually asked them, we were talking, and I said, I wonder where the opportunity is in here for us to either come more alive or to do something new. I don't know what it is. And, you know, through all the work that you and I have done together and with that, with the Canfield community, I had in the back of my head, Jax, you know, act, I don't even know what it is. Act, maybe, or something.
Yeah, act as if.
There you go.
As if taking
and, and so, you know, my world, my industry is hurting. There's a lot of pain and a lot of fear. And I thought, well, I got 3 weeks to be home. So I've never done a video ever in my life for anyone of anything, positivity or anything. So I've been just starting to do these videos and to try to give someone a tip, something to lift them up, something to get them out of the rut and remember there's hope. And it's been, you know, like a fulfillment of a dream for a long time in a weird way for me to get to face forward out front, not fearing anything, just get to love people in that way.
Jason, can you tell people about your videos, like what they are? Because I think it's such an incredible story of just beginning, you know, acting on that idea that's in your heart that often in here, we've never done it because we're too busy with our outside obligations, or we have our voices that say, why should you, you know, you were talking before about the, you know, the perception, right, of other people. And so all these stories will prevent us from just beginning, but I'm wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about what your video series is, because it's incredible. Not only are you teaching, but you've also created this opportunity for connecting too. And yeah, maybe you should speak a little bit about that.
Yeah, there was, you know, it was kind of like our world went quiet and our industry's world, you know, from a tangible perspective. I mean, I'm not working anymore, but all my customers' emails went to zero. There really aren't people to call on right now. And there was this lull, this kind of sort of sad lull out there. And it became obvious pretty quickly in talking with people that they needed something and some kind of hope. And though I've never done it, I said, well, I've got time. Let's get on my, I didn't even know how to do it on my camera on this computer. I had to like call someone and say, what do I use to video myself in this? And then just, I started going through a lot of the Canfield stuff or stuff that I've learned in the past and coming up with a little 5-minute video to pick people up. I've made it specific to my industry. I mean, anybody can watch it, but specific to people in food service who, to kind of create that sense of community that every day it's a different one. I email people every night. Someone wanted me to customize them. So I did another little video customizing it for that customer and their team to try to lift them up. And then we've been hosting these virtual lunches where everyone can get on a Zoom call, you know, and I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich most days and like a little clementine and we'll talk. I had a woman in the industry who's, she's a really well-known, she's done a great job in her career, get on today. It was her and I, and she just started crying and, you know, cause it was a tough day and some, you know, people had to get laid off. And so it was great to connect with her. She just needed a face. Yesterday we had 8 people on from Maryland to Kansas City to Utah to all over the place. People just want to see faces right now. They want to see faces there. We're used to seeing each other at all these industry events and shows and out in the field and at customers, and none of that's happening. And for a lot of us, for a lot of people in my industry, it's their peers, their coworkers that really are their family. They see one another more than a lot of times their family. So this is just a way to let people see each other, hear each other's voices. And now we're creating ambassadors to do this in other places too. One thing we realized once we got to like 8 people, we're like, oh, there's only, it can only be so big before the intimacy goes away. And so now we're creating other people to host these either cocktail hours or coffee hour or lunch, whatever it is, to get other people just to connect and just to see each other's faces.
Everybody listening, I hope you paid attention to that. So here's a guy who didn't even know how to turn the video around on his camera or whatever. In less than a week's time, he's created a platform that is connecting him with people. It's bridging this gap between perceived industry leaders and somebody who doesn't know how to turn the camera around. And he's creating this amazing opportunity for people to connect and bond. So much so that in this short period of time, it's taking off and now they're creating ambassadors. And this is so important. I've been talking to a lot of my clients who are business owners, entrepreneurs, and leadership position that this is the time to really take an asset inventory. Asset inventory is not necessarily stocks, bonds, property, money, like a traditional we might think, but assets are, what do I have to offer? What can I do? I have eyes, I can see, I can read, I can talk, I can speak, I can listen, right? We have so many amazing gifts that each and every one of us can share. The bartender who might be out of work right now, hop on a video, create a video series where you're teaching people how to make some of your signature drinks, right? And then host a virtual happy hour. The chef that may not have be working, do the same thing, host a little food show. The person who's a fantastic budgeter, hop on and teach people how to budget, because Lord knows a lot of people who are really stressed out right now, and we're stressed out because we didn't do a very good job budgeting. The point is we don't even have to have it as a title or something we do occupationally. It just has to be on our heart to share and then begin, and look at how fast it can go. And so I think there's a lot of people that probably are thinking, gosh, okay, I'm with you, Jason. I would love to begin, but I'm a little scared. Where do you find the courage to begin?
The courage to begin. You know, that's a great question, because I've thought about this for years, but I never, you know, a lot of our community connects on via LinkedIn, is where a lot of people in my industry are. And it was always like, LinkedIn is a place for this. It's for business. Mm-hmm. It's not for other things. And I fretted for a day. I'm like, I don't know what happens if I throw this out there. And I threw out there, the first thing was just a post about, hey, look, I've gone through stuff. I've gone through anxiety, depression. If you just need someone to talk to, you know, feel free to reach out. And I started getting phone calls and messages from people I didn't know, from colleagues from years ago. One guy called me and we talked for an hour and he just wanted to keep talking. And he said, I'm sorry, I'm rambling. And I'm like, but go as long as you need. That's what this is for. And I think just throwing it out there the first time and seeing the response and people say, you know, thank you. I just need someone to listen right now, or someone, you're going to make me cry, or you're not making me cry. I might cry. They just wanted someone to relate to. You know, one of the things I told you this earlier, but in my world, there are customers I've called on forever who are CEOs of really big international companies. And there's always been this perceived bridge between us. And I might've felt intimidated. And I put out, the first video I did was on laughter, because it's something that we can all relate to and we've all done. No one has to learn a new skill. Mm-hmm. And this guy starts commenting and he makes jokes. He puts this joke in the subtitle, like on LinkedIn, and he goes, and just to confirm, there were no animals harmed in the production of this video. And I wrote back and said, you nailed it. And there was this moment where this guy who I perceived up here and I perceived me down here, there is not that right now. There is no greater, there is no less than. Everyone is simply a human trying to figure out in their homes, you know, how you get through this and what you do. And so once I saw that, that gave me a little bit more courage to do the video. I hadn't even done a video. You know, I started doing those videos and people just keep writing me and saying, hey, thanks. You're keeping us going, or things like that. And it was just, I don't know, it was just a risk at first. I think Jack says, confidence is just surviving a risk. And having survived a risk, and it was a risk. I didn't know how it would turn out, but it's been received well, and I'm glad that it's helping.
Yeah, I think, you know, something really important here is when you lead with from the place of just caring, you know, you care to care, you can put those risks out there, and you'll usually land on your feet pretty well.
Yeah, at the end of the day, everyone I call on, everyone I work with is just a person, you know, after we get through the facades and after we get through the titles and the perceived statuses and in a moment where everyone's a person and a lot of them in my world are hurting, it ended up being, I think, good for them. I hope, I think so.
Yeah, I think so too, Jason. I think it doesn't matter if you wear Armani or Levi's. It doesn't matter if you drive a Ferrari or a Toyota. Everybody right now is freaking out because they don't have enough toilet paper. They're not sure what's going to happen. They're worried about a loved one. they're taking considerations in about their company. You know, I saw something the other day, and I don't know if this is completely true or not, but I guess it is the head of Cheesecake Factory wrote and published some letter online saying Cheesecake Factory, the Cheesecake Factory. This is like one of the busiest chains. You ever go in there for dinner, it's an hour wait every time. They're not going to be able to pay rent at their locations, any locations in April. And so we're all going through this. And one of the things that's so important with that is that fear, anxiety, stress, it's such an isolating emotion. When we're in it, we feel like we're over on this island and we're over here by ourselves and everyone else is over here. And so we start with stories to rationalize that. Well, it's easy for Jason to say, it's easy for Jesse to say, they don't know what they're going through. They don't know this. The truth is right now, probably more than any other time in history, everyone is going through something in some degree, right? Everyone has a loved one that they're concerned about. Everyone has a income they're concerned about. Everyone has a roof over their head they're concerned about. And I say that because I want to acknowledge what you're all feeling, what you may be feeling, but I also hope to really encourage you to lean into what Jason is saying here about just beginning. And that the space to connect with those people you need to connect, we're always one connection away, one conversation, one moment away from radically transforming our life. That gap to connect has been lowered so substantially that probably for one of the first times in recent history, we're not talking to one another as CEO and prospect or anything like that. We're talking human to human, person to person. And it's an incredible time right now for you to appeal your humanity to him and any other, and just get out there and share your magic. Jason, you mentioned earlier recognizing what you don't want your legacy to be. What do you want your legacy to be?
Great question, Jess. I think I want my legacy to be that I cared for people, but more than that, I'd really love that it be that I be known for helping people learn how to care for themselves, I suppose. You know, giving them the courage to risk loving themselves and risk stepping into their own joy and their own hearts and, you know, fulfillment of their own dreams, I guess, including, you know, my sons right here and including knuckleheads like him and, you know, my own family. It's been easy in work sometimes to care for people in work and not be as present at home. So I want to make sure I do it here first.
I love that. And I apologize, I'm choking.
Some water, buddy.
I ran out. Oh, no. I've been doing some of these interviews. I've been talking a lot more, and didn't realize how dry my throat was. Oh, no. But I muted, so you don't have to hear me hacking in the background. I love that, Jason. And I think that speaks perfectly to who you are.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I see you the exact same way, frankly.
Okay. Three questions to wrap up. People are at home. Quarantine, lockdown, shelter in place. If you could recommend one podcast people listen to during this time, what would that be?
Podcast. I'm a big fan. I listen to a podcast called The Robcast. It's a guy that he comes from a faith perspective. He had a big church for a long time and kind of got burnt out on that and has bobbed and weaved his way through everything. And he's a just a beautiful creator. He keeps me creating and dreaming of creating. So I love his. He connects with people and relates really well.
Book you'd recommend people read?
For me, Success Principles was the book that changed the game in my life. It turned my life around 180 degrees. So that'd be mine.
This is a good time for people to read Success Principles. I think Jack Canfield, who wrote the Success Principles, has a accompanying workbook that goes with the Success Principles that's coming out later this month or early next month too. I think I remember seeing something about that. And movie or documentary you'd recommend people watch?
Movie or documentary? A movie I rewatched the other day that I haven't watched in so long, but is probably my favorite, was Braveheart.
Dude, I knew, I just could feel right then you're going to say Braveheart. I don't know why, I just had in my voice that you're going to say Braveheart.
That is awesome. I was actually thinking about that quote this morning. The quote, you know, all men die, not every man
really lives. Really, yep. Live.
And that's been like knocking around in my head the last day or two. And so it was so fun to watch the other day. It's been so long. In college, I had the poster up on my wall of Braveheart. Documentary, I not too long ago, I watched The Dawn Wall about the climber who climbed, I think it's El Cap. And I liked it. He did something no one had done, but he was just kind of, he was a beautiful guy. He was just like a great spirited, good hearted guy accomplishing this thing that was out of this world. And I loved it.
Everyone, I encourage you to really rewatch this, especially if you find yourself sitting in a place right now of a little bit of uncertainty, but you have this feeling, this something compelling you to do something. One of the things that I love and appreciate about Jason so much is his vulnerability and his willingness to share about just leaning in and just beginning to go from such a short time of not even knowing how, again, the camera works to he's creating this little community where people are finding value. He's bridging these gaps between these people he used to look up to as leaders and thinking they were so far removed to now interacting as peers because he cares to care. He cares to care, and he's doing what he can right now to try to help and bring a little light and joy to people's lives, and people respond to it. I really think as business owners, one of the things we'll see evolve is that love and caring and compassion will become a new currency in business. I think more than any time, especially in the immediate time after this, and I say that because if you are a business owner or you're an aspiring business owner, one of the things you might consider during this time is how can I love my customers a little bit more? How can I show a little bit more compassion to the people I serve, the colleagues I work with? And if you have it on your heart to serve and provide value like Jason did, do it, lean into it. And then also take the time to really step back and be introspective and ask yourself, what matters most? What do you want your legacy to be? If you share your four walls with others, a spouse, children, whatever, even furry companions, you know, ask yourself what's most important. One of the great things about a time like this is it gives us all the unique opportunity to intimately have a conversation with our own mortality. It's not like this is something that's removed to the other side of the world where we don't even think about it. It's in our backyards right now. And so we're many of us are touching it, interacting with it, and experiencing it. Don't let that conversation with your mortality go to waste. Really, really look it in the eye and talk about it and figure out what matters most. If that means stepping away from a career that you've had that to outside people seems like it'd be ludicrous because you realize that really what's most important to you is to put family first. Follow your heart. You know, now more than ever is that time. So Jason, thank you so much, my friend, for being here. This was absolutely incredible. I appreciate you so much, and we'll make sure to put any links up or anything like that where people can connect with you.
You got it, Jesse. This was great. I am so grateful for you. Every time we get to connect, man, you always lift me up. And thanks for doing what you're doing to lift everyone else up.
See, we'll see you next time, everybody, on A Handful of Hope. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you're finding value in these conversations, please rate and review on Apple, Google, Stitcher, or wherever your favorite place is to listen to.